Good morning. Desire everyone's prayer. I have a little thought this morning based on things going on in the world around us. And it came to me reading some of the story of Peter walking on water. And I think there's a question that sometimes pops up in everybody's minds when we look around us. And the question I want us to consider is in or out of the boat? And what I want us to consider is, does that really matter if you're in or out of the boat? So I want to start off reading in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 verses 22 through 33, a little bit of reading. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So I want us to consider this story and look at this. Now, we know Peter, he walked on water. And that's impressive. But do you know we can make mistakes sometimes? We could take this passage in the scripture and we could potentially turn it into a litmus test of faith. We could look at people and say, well, you know, did you get out of the boat or did you just stay in the boat? Does it really matter who gets out of the boat? Who stays in the boat? Is that something that we should be making a litmus test of faith over? You know, we could say, well, the person got out of the boat. But did they sink? Did they step out of the boat and flounder around? Or did they ever step, you know, they got out of the boat, maybe like Peter did, started sinking, but then were successfully back on top of the water? Was Peter walking on the water a litmus test of faith that we all are supposed to apply to ourselves? I think in our world today, the world is trying to get us to look and to divide and to pick sides and to choose. And if we're not careful, he'll get us to looking at things that at the end of the day doesn't matter. So we've talked a little bit about Peter. You know, he could have chided some of those that didn't get out of the boat. Peter could have looked at the folks as he and Jesus was walking back and said, you all are lacking in faith. You all don't have what it takes. You all should have got out of the boat with me. Peter could have challenged them, why didn't you get out? Don't you fully believe in Jesus? And maybe even accuse them of not being fully measured up, because otherwise they would have got out of the boat and came with him. Do we see the dangers of sometimes allowing ourselves to get into that thinking? And from the other side, you have those that were still on the boat. You know, they could have looked at Peter and said, Peter, you're tempting God. God did not tell you to get out of the boat. You asked him to tell you to get out of the boat. You said, if you are God, tell me to get out of the boat. They could accuse Peter of wanting to show off. Peter, you just did that. You forced Jesus' hand because you wanted to be a big shot. They could have accused him of being reckless. We saw you step out of the boat. You almost drowned. You say that that was a test of faith. We think that was silliness. We think that you shouldn't have done that. They would have said, you're only successful because Jesus had mercy on you. They could have even accused Peter of not having faith, because didn't Jesus tell him, "Oh, Peter, where is your faith? Why are you sinking?" If we get to looking at Peter and who got in and out of the boat, in other words, if we get to looking at ourselves and those around us, you know we're not going to be looking at the right things. We're going to allow divisions to come up over things that in our faith doesn't really matter. You know, there's times where they could point out that, you know, Christ worked in spite of people's imperfections. There was the child that had the spirits that they were praying to cast out, and nobody could cast it out. They went to Christ. What? Why couldn't we cast this out? Now Christ cast the child out. He fulfilled through their lack of faith, but he said, "This time come forth not but by prayer and fasting." Did it mean that when they couldn't cast the child out, that they had somehow failed Christ? No. It was a learning moment. One that says that they needed to study and be more prepared for times like that. Now I want us to take a moment and move to Mark chapter 6, verses 45 and 52. This is going to be the same story, but with a different view. And it says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he went sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Now here, it's the same story. They were out in the ship. Jesus came walking on water. If we were to look at these stories, you'll see that before both of these, they mentioned about the preaching and the feeding of the people. And after both of these stories, he's in Gennesaret working. And both of these stories mention one thing in common, but this one leaves out Peter walking on the water. But this one talks about a focus both stories had. Both stories end with Jesus calming the seas. And in both stories, that was the focus. That is what the folks in the ship said, "Wow. That man just calmed the seas. That man is worthy of praise and adoration." You know, folks, we can get to looking around us, and we can look at people that we might say, that is pretty impressive. I've said it multiple times, Peter walking on water, that's, I don't know about you, but at that time, he had more faith than I think I've ever had. I might have been one of the folks in the boat, looking at Peter and thinking, "Peter, I don't think you're the wisest one right now. You may be have zeal, but maybe you're lacking wisdom." But you know what? At the end of the story, what really mattered? What mattered was, did they see Christ? Did they focus on what Christ could do, how he could calm the sea? The power that he had. And they didn't let whether or not one had stayed in the boat or one had got out of the boat be a dividing point among them. They just simply said, "Can we all see and worship God?" Let's look at John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verses 20 through 22. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." I wanted to bring this verse out. You know, we all have different callings, different burdens. And these burdens, there may be times it's a shared burden. Think of some of the folks that's gone overseas in ministry. We've had some of the young men in our congregation, young ladies, go help in Mexico. There's been folks that's traveled around the world going in a group helping out. But do you know it's not always the same people on every trip? Sometimes the Lord will allow and call and you get to go. Other times you don't. You'll be one of the ones supporting, praying, but you won't be one of the ones in that boat. You'll be back at the shore. You'll be waiting for them to find out what happened. Reading what Albert Barnes had to say about this question, what is that to thee? He said there's kind of four points that we can learn. One, that our main business is to follow the Lord Jesus. You know, I am up here speaking this morning, but any man that says, well, I'm going to follow Brother Eric around, I would tell you that if you're not looking past me, you're looking very short-sighted. And I would highly recommend that you look past me. Look to Christ. Look to the one that has the power that none of us have. The second point that Albert Barnes mentions is that there are many subjects of religion on which a vain and impertinent curiosity is exercised. All such curiosity Jesus here reproves. We see this out in the world many times. You see the folks that will take different aspects of the religion, and they will make it a point of faith. You have those that want to say if you don't have the faith to speak things and believe them, the sometimes referred to as name it and claim it prosperity type gospels. Oh, well, Jesus said you just speak and believe, and if you're not getting it, if you're having trouble, then something's not right in your life. You know, Jesus said we're going to have trouble in our lives. We're going to have persecutions. There's those that will say, well, if you can't speak in tongues, then you don't have what it's take. They've taken that as a litmus test. Yet when we read the passage on the gifts of the Spirit, it doesn't say everybody has the speaking in tongues. It doesn't say everybody preaches. In fact, I dare say, if we had a congregation full of preachers, it might make for a rather long wait while we wait for the Spirit to decide who's going to speak in the mornings at services. One other thing that is pointed out is that Jesus is going to take care of all of his true disciples, and we really don't need to bother ourselves with worrying over them. You know, Jesus looked at that disciple, the beloved disciple, and said, what if I want him to stay alive till I return? What is that to you? Doesn't mean that we can't be concerned and help our brother. The scripture definitely calls out that we're to help our brother. People in time of need, you know, if they're sick, take them food, take them things, care for them. If they're needing help lifting, hauling things, there's nothing wrong with working and helping with people. But we don't want to become too preoccupied in trying to determine what does Jesus have them to do and are they doing what Jesus wants them to do. That really is something that's more focused for Christ to handle. And the other part is that we should go forward to whatever he calls us to, persecution or death, not envying other people. You know, how would you feel if you get the impression, as it says in the scripture, we didn't read the verse, but there were some that when this was said, they mistakenly understood it as this man's going to live until Christ return. And then others were going to die as martyrs. You know, it'd be easy to get to looking, why is he special? Why does he get the easy life? Why does he get to live to an old age? You know, folks, it's not ours to ask. It is ours to deal with the situations we hold. You know, we are called to hold each other accountable to doctrines and teachings. But we need to make sure we're not taking away from what's out there or adding to. It could have been that there might have been a group of people as Christianity was growing and after the Lord left the earth, that there might have been a group of people that started saying, oh, Peter walked on water. And we think everybody that should have the faith Peter had. And we're going to start asking folks, you know, we're going to start working to see if folks can walk on water, or at least if they'll get out of the boat. Let's not all just sit in the boat. That's not a wise thing to do. You'll end up testing the Lord in a way that Peter did not do. Peter asked a question, if you're the Lord, bid me come unto you. He still left it to the Lord's discretion. Because if the Lord hadn't said come, Peter would have remained in the boat. So he was still, even though he asked the question, Lord, I would like to do this. And if that's you, would you bid me come? And he did. He bid Peter come. Peter, at that point, would have had to get out of the boat or he would have been disobedient. But I also think anybody else in the boat that would have gone out, would they have been in a line with what God was doing at the moment? Because the bid to come was directed at Peter. Even though it didn't have Peter, you come now, Jesus was answering Peter's question. And anybody else that might have got out of the boat might have been out of line. Because they weren't in the conversation at the moment. In our world today, people are trying to divide the groups, divide people, to break down the unity. We see it in society around the world. You just have to read the news in any country. There's protest, counter-protest. There's all kinds of things going on. We find things, the world just likes to divide people. You get a group of men together, they own pickup trucks, and generally it won't be long before somebody may make a comment about, oh, well, you're driving a Ford, or you're driving a Dodge, or you're driving a Chevy, and you know, sometimes there'll be little comments, generally intended in jest, but comments about, you know, well, Ford, you know, Fords aren't that good. Well, I don't think Dodges are that good. Well, you know, those old Chevys, you know, they've got these problems. And then you can actually sometimes have people that get their feelings into that, and they will get defensive, and it brings a division over something that really shouldn't divide people. I want to read one more little set of scriptures. Luke 9, verses 49 and 50. Luke 9, verses 49 and 50. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Now that man was not affiliated with the disciples. In this story, if you were thinking about boats, you could say he had never been in the same boat with the disciples. But what we have recorded is that man was successfully casting out devils in the name of Jesus. We do have a story of some sons of a man that decided to cast out devils in Jesus' name, and they weren't right in their hearts. And if we remember that story, they were set upon by the devils, and they were beaten, and they suffered for it. They weren't successful. But this man was successfully casting out devils, even though he wasn't in the boat that the disciples thought he should have been in. And the disciples said, hey, you're not one of us. You shouldn't be doing that. In a way, they had started looking at, did you get in or out of the boat? They weren't looking at what should happen. The power of Christ calming the seas. The word of the Lord casting out the devil. If they would have focused on Jesus' name being used and the power of Jesus' name allowing the devil to be cast out, do you know what they might have said instead? Brother, we see the work you're doing. Would you like to come fellowship with us? We've got a big old boat. Got room in it. You can get in our boat too. But instead, they chose to look at whether he was in the boat or not. They completely looked past the work of the Lord, the power of God. I would challenge us this morning as we go through life. Don't allow the world to put an arbitrary boundary in your mind that divides brothers and sisters in Christ. There's things that the world does, types of cars, where you live. There's the, back in the Civil War, North or South, you know, there's all kinds of things that divide people. Sometimes it actually results in physical conflict, but oftentimes it just results in discord and disharmony between the brethren. I'd like to challenge all of us in the times we live in. Look past that. Look to Christ. Look to see, can you see his calming influence on the world? Can you see the protection he gives people? The healing he gives people? It's still going on. We still see it around us. You all pray for me.